It's good to have you guys here this morning and just looking forward to a great time in God's Word. You know, one of the most defining moments of my life came when I was in elementary school and I had the opportunity to go to my first auction. I don't know if you guys have ever been to an auction, and auctions are pretty fascinating where people spend lots of money with little fans, whatever they're using, raise them up as a guy's talking really, 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 really fast. You can't understand any of the words, but somehow people are spending lots of money. And so I got to go, and I just remember vividly on that certain night, there was a jersey from my favorite college, Southern Methodist University, my favorite college at the time. And I wanted that jersey. That's what I wanted more than anything else in life. And so my parents actually, as brave, they're so brave. My mom's watching this today, I'm sure, and dad watching this. I don't know why you guys did this, but you gave me the little fan and I got to do the auction. I get to, you know, raise the thing up to bid for the jersey. And sure enough, so the jersey comes up, number 32, has James on the back for my favorite player. And I was ready. And so the auctioneer started, blah, 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 and he started the bidding. I think it was $30, $30, $30. And I'm like, boom, right off the bat, I'm raising up my flag and I'm going, yeah, right here. And so I didn't know all the ins and outs of auctioning. So he would say $30, $30. And then what they do is they add increments. You know, they go up to 35 so that other people will bid. And I didn't know that. And so I went 30, you know, and he went 35, I went 35. And he goes up and he goes 40, 40. And I just kept raising. I thought that somebody was outbidding me. And so I just kept going and kept going. I think my parents were in shock and they're just sitting there going, and then finally, when that thing got up to like $80, I'm just going up just every time. Finally, they stopped me. Fortunately, somebody likes SMU more than me. And so somebody else bought the jersey. I was devastated, but thankful. My parents were thankful. And they didn't, I didn't get in a lot of trouble with that one. But listen, I wanted that jersey more than anything. And I wanted that jersey because I felt like if I could put that jersey on, I would be a part of the team. I loved the SMU football team at the time, and they were the greatest team ever to be hired because they got paid a lot of money in college then too, believe it or not. And so I was so excited. I thought if I could put that jersey on, I could be a part of something big. I could be a part of that team. You know, as a believer, we have to ask the question, why are we called to love our community? Why are we called to love our neighbors? Why are we called to serve others? Well, because we're a part of something bigger than us. We're a part of something that is greater than us. We are with someone who is bigger than us. And so as we talk about love where you live, today we're going to just simply throw this out and say, it's not about us. Why are we to love? Why are we to love our neighbors? Well, listen, it's not about us. There is something bigger at play. And here's the good thing. We are a part of it. And so if you'd open up your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 17 through 21 this morning. And Paul really wrestled with this same understanding that it wasn't about him, that there was someone and something bigger that he was a part of. And this is something that became evident and clear as soon as Jesus got a hold of his life. And so he spent his time going, starting churches and going from place to place on these missionary journeys, sharing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaiming the kingdom of God, because there was something greater than himself. And so 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, starting in verse 17, if you're able, would you stand as we read God's word this morning? This is what God's word says starting in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Father, thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the authority and the power of Your Word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to us today, transforming us into who You want us to be. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What we find in Paul's life is really the understanding that all things are about God. Everything is working under His plan and His authority. And so Paul realized once he got rescued and saved by Jesus in a dramatic fashion, life turned upside down from years of really living for himself and being prideful and hateful in his life. Jesus gets a hold of his life, transforms him, and changes him. So if anybody can speak of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then it's Paul, because he's recognized it, he's understood it, and he's lived it. And so he wants all people to understand that it's not about him. So when he goes and he proclaims Jesus, when he talks to other believers, when he shares the gospel, he makes it abundantly clear that it's not about him, but it's about Jesus and the power of the gospel, the kingdom of God at work. He wants everyone to know that it's not about him. Can I just encourage you today and say, listen, we are to love our neighbors. We're to love where we live. We're to serve other people, not because of us, but because of God. And because of who we are in Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're a believer, you have Jesus Christ in your life, guess what? It's not about you. It's not about me. We represent someone greater and something greater than ourselves. When we put on the jersey of Jesus Christ in our life, we are representing the kingdom of God. No longer is it about us. No longer is it about our needs, but it's about what Jesus Christ would have us do in our life. And so as we look at this passage, I just want to share with you this morning some thought from this passage about this idea of representing Jesus. That it's not about us, it's bigger than us. And really the reason why we are to love others and to love our community. And if you have your notes, you can pull those out and have those in front of you. If not, then write down on a piece of paper. But as we look at this passage, there's a few things about being a representative of Jesus that I want us to hold on to this morning. The first one is this. Listen, we have the great privilege of representing Jesus. And I want you to know that we have the great privilege of representing Jesus. Go back to verse 17. Let's look through these verses and talk through this just a little bit. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I just want to stop there and say, praise God that if we have Jesus in our life, we are a new creation. It doesn't mean that He put some band-aid on a bad habit in our life. It doesn't mean that He just doctored us up a little bit. It says that when we accept Jesus Christ into our life, we are a whole new creation. When we do baptism, listen, we have baptism up here, and people go down into the water, and they come up out of the water, which is a symbol of what Jesus has done. We say it every time. Listen, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in a brand new life. And what it means is this: no longer are we held captive by our old self with sin and wickedness and all those things. Listen, we are new in Jesus. We have a new life in Him. Listen, that is good news. That's the gospel truth of Jesus Christ dying for us so that we can be made new in Him. What an incredible gift that is that we've been given through Jesus Christ. I just want to stop and say, if you've never made that decision for Jesus Christ, if you've never allowed Him to make you new, don't wait. Don't hesitate. There is nothing greater than giving your life to Jesus Christ and Him changing your life forever. But it goes on, it says this, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So this is the picture of what Jesus has done for you and for me. Listen, we are a people of that have been lost in sin. Ever since Adam and Eve, sin entered the world, divided us and kept us from a relationship with a holy and perfect God. There's no way that in our state of sin, we could ever have a relationship with our God. So Jesus came to die on the cross so that we might be reconciled to God. Jesus took on the consequence and the penalty of sin upon himself on the cross so that we could have a relationship with God. Sin would no longer divide us and keep us from a relationship with a holy God. That is reconciliation. Two becoming one. That's what Jesus has done for us. What an incredible gift that is. Now, I want you to hear a couple of things. If you have your Bible open, get your pen out because I think this is so important. In verse 18, I want you to underline this, and I'm using the ESV, the English Standard Version, which might be a little different, but it says this, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to underline, gave us the ministry. Then I want you to look down after you do that, in the end of verse 19, it says, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Here is a powerful truth that we find in this passage. Not only did Jesus change our life, but listen, He gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. Didn't just give us the ministry, listen, then He entrusted with us the message of reconciliation. Now, let's grasp this for a second. This same gospel, life-changing message that you and I, if we're believers, that we've allowed to change our life forever, we get the opportunity to share that with other people. Think about that. Jesus changed our life, so we get the privilege of sharing that truth with everyone we meet. God has given us this ministry. God has entrusted to us this message. Now, I don't know what you would consider a privilege, but I consider it a great privilege that I get to talk to others about a Jesus, our Savior, who can change their life. I do counseling, and I'll do some marriage counseling, things like that, premarital, different things, and one of the things I like to tell people, and we'll be talking, and I really enjoy just talking with people. And one of the things I always tell them, and I try to tell them, is listen, I'm going to heaven. Not at the moment, but I'm going to heaven. And I'm so grateful and thankful. And I look at them and I say, I want you to be there. Listen, I want people to be in heaven. I want people to experience and encounter Jesus. Why? Because I know what it's like. I know what it's like to encounter Jesus. I want everybody to experience that. Listen, that's the privilege that we get. We get to share that with others. So listen, when we talk about being a representative of Jesus, and in a second we'll talk about it specifically, but as Paul says, an ambassador, listen, our greatest privilege is that we get to share with people how to come to Jesus. Listen, it is a privilege. But not only that, what we find in the very next verse, in verse 20, what we read, one of the most powerful verses in Scripture, I believe, from Paul especially. But listen, we have the authority to represent Jesus. I want you to know we have authority to represent Jesus in this world. Here's what he says in verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Listen, we have the authority to represent Jesus in this world today. Now, before we move on, I just want to clarify. I'm not trying to be crazy with this idea of authority. Some people take it and run with it, and they can manipulate Scripture to make it, you know, say what they want it to say and different things. When I'm talking about authority, first and foremost, when I say we have authority to represent Jesus, the first thing you have to understand, and please, when you walk out of here, know this without a doubt. In order for anybody to be over, you got to be under. So authority in the life of a believer, first and foremost, comes from the authority of God. So listen, there's nothing about our life that is essentially great and wonderful, but the authority of God in our life gives us power and strength and boldness to proclaim the gospel to all people. Listen, we have authority in our life because of the perfect, perfect Word of God. We have authority in our life because of the powerful, never-ending God. We have authority from God, therefore we have authority as believers. Listen, we have position. When we accept Jesus Christ in our life, listen, our life changes. We are a family, we're children of God. It says in Ephesians about the heavenly realm. Listen, we are different and we're in a different position, therefore we live differently. We have authority in our life as we share the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says that we are ambassadors. Now, this term ambassador, you guys probably know this from your history classes or just from watching TV and watching the news. So the U.S. will send ambassadors to other countries for them to live. An ambassador's role and responsibility is to be the spokesperson, really the hands and feet of their home country to a foreign land. So when people talk to the ambassador, when they see the ambassador, what they're really seeing, who they're really talking to is a representative of their homeland. And so if you have a U.S. ambassador, listen, he represents the United States. He represents the President of the United States. They have a completely unique role there in this foreign land. Can I just say that is a beautiful picture of the Christian. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that this isn't my home. We are in a foreign land, okay? We are in a foreign land because my home is heaven. But until then, I am the ambassador of Jesus Christ. I am the one that represents Jesus to all the people around me. I am His ambassador everywhere I go. Man, I am so thankful and grateful that I have something to look forward to, and that is heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I want people to know there's something greater coming. I don't know if you guys have watched the news. Did you watch and read the news about Harvard University? I know Harvard. You know, it's Harvard. I love that. Harvard University, you know, one of the original universities there. Actually, their seminary is one of the, if not the original seminary, had a great historical reputation. But you know, this last week, Harvard University, supposedly some of the smartest people in the world. Harvard University hired a new chaplain over their university. He's an atheist. Now, try to figure that one out. This is what he said in one of his quotes. And I'm not saying it verbatim, but something he said. Listen, we don't need a God to help us. We can help each other. Listen, I'm glad this isn't my home because this is getting crazy. But you know what? Until I get home, I want to share with as many people as I can the love of Jesus. I want them to know Jesus. I want to be an ambassador for Him. Paul says, I am an ambassador. He's used this before. In Ephesians, he uses the term ambassador because he says, and this is when he's in prison, he said, I'm an ambassador in chains. Even in chains, he is a representative of Jesus, an ambassador sharing Jesus with all people. 1 Peter 4:11, which is a very dear verse for us here at this church. It says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Listen, we speak the very words of God. We speak with the power and strength of God. And can I just tell you, if we're a believer sharing the very words of God, you better believe that it is backed up with great authority. We have the authority to have the boldness and courage to be the ambassador that God has called us to be. Listen, we talk about why do we love? Well, because Jesus loved us first. Why do we serve others? Why do we love where we live? Because we are His ambassadors to share with the world. Listen, we have authority to share with all people. 1 John 4:4. I love this. And if you don't have this verse, print it up on your mirror every morning so you can see it. Maybe in your car, put it up there where you can see it. Don't put it on your rearview mirror because that'll be hard. It's illegal. Chief, I just want you to know that. I'm pretty sure. But 1 John 4:4 says this, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Listen, if that's who we have in our life, don't you believe that there's authority with that relationship? We have the authority and the power to be His representative. Well, the last thing is this. This comes with what Paul is talking about. We have an obligation to represent Jesus. Listen, it's a privilege. It comes with authority, but we also have an obligation to represent Jesus. Now, listen, I know that we are rescued and saved by Jesus. His grace is free. I mean, there's no works that can get you to heaven. There's nothing, you can't be good enough to get into heaven. That comes through the grace of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing that we find. This is what it says in verse 21. "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." Listen, what we find in Scripture and what we find in this passage is it says that Jesus Christ has rescued us. He has saved us. He's brought us from death to life. And it says in verse 21, "For our sake." If you look a little bit ahead and in the verses before that, what it says is this, all in verse 18, "All this is from God." Now, when you put those things together, listen, all this that it's talking about is from God. The reconciliation, the new life, all of this is a gift from God. And it says, "For our sake." Underline that, circle that, because that is the gift of new life. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sake. Listen, there is nothing that we can do to earn heaven. There's no good works that we can do that helps us get to God. We are saved, rescued through the grace of Jesus Christ, a free gift that He has given us. But listen, for our sake, He died on a cross for us. And listen, for His sake, may we share the truth. Because He died for you and for me, giving us the salvation in Him. May we love Him so much. May we want to share with everybody we know. You see, Paul looked at it like this in Romans 1. This is what he says. I am, in verse 14, "I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish." He goes on and says he's eager to preach the gospel. In verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Why? Why is he obligated to share with the Greeks and the barbarians and the wise and the foolish? What he's saying is, I'm obligated and indebted to share with all people the truth of the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus changed my life and I need to tell everyone about it. Listen, there's nothing in here about a works-based faith, but listen, it's a faith that works. And so Paul sees it as an obligation, an indebtedness, saying, because Jesus changed my life, I want everybody's life to be changed, and I want to share the gospel with all people. Listen, being an ambassador, we are obligated to represent Jesus every single day. Let's think about that for a second. And this is tough because you and I know as you drive down 75 going into Atlanta and traffic is backed up, people are honking and telling you you're number one and all that stuff. And they're so nice and so kind. You get into some stressful situations and people can be mean. But here's what I found. And I don't know if you guys have seen this. Many times, the people that honk the loudest and scream the loudest and are mean are the same ones that have a Jesus sticker on the back of their car. I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes churches can be the meanest places in the world. Let me tell you, whether you're in a church, whether you're in a car, whether you're in a classroom, in a cubicle, in an office building, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're an ambassador of Jesus. And I'll just tell you, if you're going to be mean, then take the sticker off. If you're going to be hateful, then don't wear the Jesus shirt. Listen, because once we step out and we're in the world, listen, we are an ambassador of Jesus. We are obligated to represent Jesus everywhere we go. Are you living that life of an ambassador? Now, don't get me wrong. We all make mistakes. We all get angry here and there. But may we look at our life and ask the question, am I an ambassador? One of the verses that passages Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it says this, "But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision, for I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting." Paul speaking of his ministry. "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." I love that. "For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will..." Now listen, I want you to go to this verse, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. And I want you to underline this. The last part of verse 17, here's what it says. "I am still entrusted with a stewardship." That's what Paul says. Listen, he goes from, if I don't preach, woe is me. And he ends with, "I am still entrusted with a stewardship." Now, we talk as a church many times about stewardship, right? We talk about tithing, that we need to be good stewards with our money, need to be good stewards with our time. We talk about that a lot. Church, can I just encourage you with this? And maybe this is a big challenge. We need to be good stewards with the gospel. You have been entrusted with the life-changing. I've been entrusted with the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been entrusted with the ministry and message of reconciliation. I have been entrusted with the great privilege of being an ambassador of Jesus Christ. May I be a good steward with what God has entrusted in me. And so as we continue to think about loving where we live, loving our neighbor, no matter who they are, no matter what's going on, loving where we live, loving our neighbors, can I just say, let me just simplify it and say, let's be the ambassador that God has called us to be.